People, right now, you are locked in to the Viral Dope Podcast, which is syndicated on 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family. Make sure you download the iHeartRadio app and type in 99.7 The Heat, DAHEAT Miami, and tap in with us. With the Viral Dope Podcast, it's really special. Here is why. We created this platform to really personify and elevate the visual content of amazing artists and artists that are creating the type of music and the type of visual that's really shaking the ground. Independent artists run the game, period. Their raw, fearless authenticity makes their product rare, refreshing, and scary at the same time. Speaking to a gentleman today, a young king who has a very poetic, Black Thought, neo-soul, R&B vibe to everything he does with his own flavor. He's truly unique. He has a brilliant mind, and we're honored to be in partnership with him at Music Hype Beats and Radio Pushers. I'm honored, super honored to be speaking tonight to recording artist, entrepreneur, philanthropist, investor, JJ Sam. JJ Sam, welcome to the Viral Dope Podcast, King.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you for having me, and I'm honored to even be on the podcast. Thank you so much, man.
No doubt about it. Well, listen, let's jump right into it. When you think about content, really runs the game right now. I mean, literally, like, content is king. How important is it from your perspective as far as creating game-changing and appealing content for social media?
For me, my personal perspective, I'm going to just speak for myself when I say this. It's important because I'm trying to grab the consumers, not just their ears, but the visuals as well. I know I don't have as much visuals as I should, but when I speak, I want you to visualize it, if that makes sense. So that's why whenever you listen to my songs and whatnot, it's very vivid. It's eye-catching. When you hear, you're like, okay, you instantly start imagining what I'm saying to you. And whenever you're hearing the lyrics come from the speaker. So for me, I'm always taking the time out of my day to come up with the most in-depth, deep lyrics or ideas for myself.
Yeah.
So when I released the loop, my last project, it's strictly a story, you know, from track one to track five. So whenever you listen to it, I'm giving you good vibes, but you're also getting the visuals as well. You also, it's like a movie for me. For me, I feel like I'm a director that makes music. So that's what I'm always trying to do. I'm always trying to grab people, not just from the ear perspective, but from the visuals as well. Where you could just kind of do everything at once. Because that's how it is nowadays when you watch a good TV show. So that's always what I'm always trying to do. So
yeah. And see, the reason why I asked you that question about the content or really just led with that question is because creating content is almost like you're running a TV network, and your music allows you to create from such a deep and personal creative space. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's why I was asking you, like, how important is it for you to create, to invest the money into your social media, into content creation, and to have a true theme around it? So when someone does come to your page and they say, okay, let me give JJ Sam some of my time, let me see what his page has going on, you give them something that they can sink their teeth in. And that's how I look at content. Because
correct.
Looking at content means time. You feel me?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to tap into this part musically, then we'll go back to visual. You have a unique soul perspective to your music. I mean, you really create from a very elegant, graceful, and very a very sensitive area of your personal realm. Where did that come from? Like, when did you, I mean, you know, because you dig deep in your words. So where did all that come from? What inspired either one?
Experience, seeing it from not just myself, but from friends, family, and things I just see all over, like from YouTube, Instagram. It's literally everywhere for myself. But the number one is my experience. From things that I experience, I tend to journal it, and that journal just is being expressed in my music. So 90%, like 98% of what you hear is all true. There may be some little fairy tales in there, but it's just kind of just bouncing off of my art form, just kind of just making it a little fun, just having fun with it as well. But most of it comes from experience, And from friends too. Most of my close friends dealt with the same issues and stuff like that. So I remember I got asked that question before, like, is all this stuff true, this and that? And it is. You hear a lot of it. This must have happened, you know. And it has. So, and everything that I write and you hear, there may be like little freestyles I do here and there that's just raps, just showcasing I can just rap. But most of it, if you hear like in the album form, is me just expressing myself because I lived it. I've seen it all. So it's just, you're going to get what I'm experiencing. So I want everybody else to feel that, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense, which leads me to my follow-up question. Being vulnerable, being honest, being transparent, it's not as easy as it sounds. You know, a lot of artists create through lies. The greats, they pour out their heart. They reveal themselves. Mary J. Blige, you know, Marvin Gaye, you know, Music Soul Child. So many artists that just create from a space. I mean, Michael Jackson, they create from a space of just like, tell their story. How much of your real life do you include into your lyrics?
Like 98% of it. 98% of it. Because like I said, the way I write is this. I journal every morning, I journal every night. So I'm just writing just my mind, like what's on my mind, whatever's thoughts I have. So I'm just writing just in general. Then what I do is whenever I'm listening to these instrumentals, I will go back to those journals, read them, and just twist those words in my journal into my lyrics. That's literally what I do. And nobody never knew that, I mean, to just now, but that's literally how I write, because it's almost like I'm putting my freestyles into my music in a way, because it's an easier concept for me to express myself, because you're getting the real vulnerable me from my journal perspective. So that's how I write. That, like I said, a little bit of it, like in Aloof, at the end of it, you know, you may hear a gunshot or something. That's just something just to kind of spin off of, just to have fun with it. I clearly didn't shoot anybody, kill nobody. I'm just kind of having fun with it. But all of it is definitely from my journal. And I'm just kind of just transferring that into lyrics. So that's all right.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our people know how I write, so.
People, right now, we got J.J. Sam, recording artist, entrepreneur, philanthropist, J.J. Sam. On the Viral Dope podcast, syndicated on 99.7 Heat Miami, officially part of the iHeartRadio family, and also a part of the Music Hype Beast podcast network. Right now, the Viral Dope podcast ranks in the top 200 on Apple, so we are moving real well with that. I want to go, before we take a quick commercial break, I want you to explain to the audience, from your childhood, like, what were some of the things that inspired you? As a child, inspired you as a child? And then what were some of the things that, as a child growing up, what were some of the things that you saw that was dark or wasn't as pretty or friendly?
Growing up, it was just me and my older brother at first. We grew up in not the prettiest neighborhood, but we was always entertainers. He actually started out making music. I was always a dancer. I started out dancing. But for me, we didn't have our fathers. So we always had to find different routes to kind of get away from things and keep our minds busy. For me, I feel like dancing, I don't know how I just naturally got into dancing. I was always teaching myself stuff. I was teaching myself how to do backflip, front flip, trying to just do different things. So I think I was more, and I was seeing Michael Jackson doing wild things, moonwalk, spinning. So I was always trying to do different things. That was my way of expressing myself at the time. And so I was inspired by that. And then as I got older, I started getting more into like the lyric aspect. So I was listening to a lot of Tupac. So I was very poetic. That's kind of what like sparked the fire for me is Tupac. He sparked it. But then I found out who Big L was. And he actually changed the game for me, where I was like, my reaction to him was, okay, now I got to get people to react the way I reacted to him that way. So it was kind of like a chain of reaction for me. I started out dancing because I saw people wowed by Michael Jackson and whatnot. You know, then You Got Served, people loved it, Stumped the Yard. Then Tupac came. I mean, he was always there. Not came, but he was always there. But when I started really getting into hip hop with that, then that's how it was for me. I think it was just more of that dark side of things was just me and my brother trying to really just find an escape, because we didn't have our fathers in our life. We had a strong mom who was just trying to find a way. And, you know, we was always getting into fights at school. So that was like our way, music, dancing, all this type of stuff, you know, writing down stuff. So it was always stuff like that. And it's to this day, that's just how it is. It's kind of like that was our natural born talent. I feel like we still are focused on getting into that entertainment industry to this day. So it's something that never left us because we're both good at it. So that's how I feel about that aspect of things coming up as a child.
When did the shift happen in your life when you started taking music seriously? Like, when did the shift happen?
In high school, I think that was like 2010-ish, I believe. It was, like I said, that's whenever I was still dancing at the time. I was definitely still dancing. Then one of my good friends, he showed me a bunch of 90s music. And I was still hip to it. You know, I always knew about Tupac, but I always knew about it. But for some reason, they never really shook me to really take rap serious. They never really shook me to, I was always writing poems, but never like over beats. I was just always writing poems. Because of Tupac, you know, he was really poetic. And then it just one day, he showed me Big L. He just showed me Big L. It was the 98 freestyle. And I just remember, like, I was like mind blown. I was like, I don't know what I just heard. And that initial reaction right there literally changed the game for me. I was like, yeah, I gotta. And it's not saying that my lyrics are like that, like super meta, like metaphors and punchlines can be. And like you said, like I'm a very poetic neo soul type of artist right now. But I think for me, it's more of I'm still that storyteller too. Which again, Big L was a good storyteller. So it was like that. So was Tupac. So kind of for me, I'm there. But then I'm also like when you hear this, I'm giving you experience. I'm giving you visuals. So I'm more. I didn't want to strictly bite Tupac and Big L. You know, I wanted to be myself. So I just took that poetic form and took it into my own style and kind of just ran with it. So when you listen to my last project, you can kind of hear that. You kind of hear like the mix of like poetic, but still kind of a little grimy at the end. Like you can kind of hear a mix of it all. So I would definitely say like it was that sophomore year that just listening to Big L just kind of made me be like, yeah, this is it. This is it for me. I love this. I'm doing it. So
do a quick commercial, then we're going to come back to the Viral Dope Podcast featuring my brother, JJ Sam. Right now, we're about to get into the track Bring It Back by Devin Mill. Devin Mill is a recording artist. He's a major recording artist signed to All Money Is Legal, LLC, which is ran by Frank Mill. Devin Mill hails out of Yonkers, New York. This guy has been tearing it up out here in the music space. His recent single, Bring It Back, has been killing it on radio. It's also distributed on Nebula. You can invest in Bring It Back, own shares of it as well. Nebula is a distribution platform that allows artists to sell fractional ownership of their records. So I'm going to play a quick snippet of it. Devin Mill Instagram handle is DEVAMIL underscore. That is DEVAMIL underscore. The name of the record is Bring It Back. It's available everywhere. Let us know what you think of. Let Devin Miller know what you think of this record. Hit him on IG and let him know. Here it is, Bring It Back, Devin Mill, powered by All Money Is Legal, LLC. All right, people, that's Bring It Back by Devin Mill. On Instagram, it is DEVAMIL underscore. Part of the Viral Dope campaign is that we advertise and promote artist music here through our podcast network, because we do thousands of downloads per week. We support independent artists. Make sure you follow my brother on Instagram, DEVAMIL underscore. Let him know what you think of the record, Bring It Back. Now back to JJ Sam. JJ Sam, let me ask you this question. You're in the booth, headphones are on, The producer is behind the glass. He says, he or she says, go. Explain the euphoria you feel, the type of mojo that you create when you're in the booth. The
moment those headphones are on my ears, I zone out. My brain goes somewhere else. I said this before, speaking to somebody else who asked me about this. When I'm in the booth, like, making music, I'm not in the right headspace. I'm in a good way, though. When I say I'm not in the right headspace, that's in a good way. Because my mind is, I'm always trying to find a way to do something different, if that makes sense. I'm always trying to find a way to just kind of tweak something. So even though I already have lyrics right there probably in front of me, whatever, I'm about to start rapping or whatever the case may be, I'm always trying to find something else. It's like a puzzle for me, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like my mind works different. I don't know what it is. My mind just works different. So as I'm rapping or whatever, I'm rapping, but then I may hear, like, I can add two more words in that one bar. Like, hold on, let me step out. Let me figure this out, do this, whatever. Come back in, do it again. Now, if it don't sound right, then and some people say it's doing too much, and I might be doing too much, but that's just, I love this so much that, like, it's this, I'm always trying to make people be like, this dude is different. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. So when I'm in the booth, I've actually worked with people who have said this about me. Like, man, dude, like, relax, man. You kind of being a perfectionist a little bit. It's like, yeah, I know, man. I just can't help it. I just can't, because they'll see me kind of just go through like six different takes, but it's six literally different takes, like six different things. So it's not the same takes where you might mess up.
Right.
And you just restart, like, no, it's literally six different takes, literally. And we just got to go through each six takes and be like, all right, which one was different? It just, I don't know, I just kind of, my brain goes somewhere else whenever I'm in the booth. Like, it's something I love to do. So that's the way I can, the best way for me to explain it.
Definitely. Let me go into this part right here, just regarding, as far as where you are. Music, being an artist in 2024 is so different because of the fact that it's like you got to wear so many hats. You got to be a manager. You got to have a digital content. We spoke about it. You got to have a team that's going to create your graphics. You need a cameraman. You got to have a place to create content constantly. Then you got to record. You have to be on your business side. You have to have a legal team. You have to have a digital branding team. Briefly explain just some of the downside things you've experienced trying to run your own company as an independent artist. What's some of the scams? What's some of the pitfalls you run into?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that. One of my homeboys just asked me about that as well. And I told him straight out. I'm like, man, like before, I started really getting the move with all this. I was everything, I was an artist, an engineer, mixer, a PR, I was everything, literally, by myself. I ain't have no team. That's just how it is. I've come across people business-wise and they like me, but they don't want to work with me because my followers are too low or I'm not buzzing in the streets or whatever the case may be. And it gets frustrating because, unfortunately, how it is, it's not about necessarily talent anymore. You got to come with some type of value. And that's just how it is. It's business at the end of the day. That's how business works. So when you by yourself, it's hard, then you got, when you're struggling trying to make it, you're trying to get up there, trying to get your name out. You do have these people who are like just throwing stuff at you. If you work with me, I can get you this and that. And then you get so excited, you might want to work with them. Then they say, no, it was a scam or something. They just wanted, because they knew you would bite. They knew you would do it. And, but it's stuff you learn along the way as a artist, And my best, I ain't nowhere near where I want to be at, but I think I'm doing pretty well for myself now, just kind of learning the game and whatnot. But my advice to anybody out there that's trying to make it and trying to come up and find a way is just be patient and just follow your truth, follow your music, do what you got to do. Then everything else will just come together. It's hard, but, it's not nothing in life is going to be easy. If it's worth it, it's going to be hard, because at the end of the day, once you make it, it's all going to be worthwhile once you look back at it. So
definitely. As 2025 approaches, this year is pretty much over almost. But, you have accomplished a lot in a short period of time. I know you got a long way to go. We all do. What are some of the things that you're looking to accomplish starting What let me say it this way. What are some things that you know you must accomplish in 2025?
In my opinion, I would say it's a lot of things, but I just want to be able to take this and make this my actual career. I don't want to be able to, I want to be able to provide for myself and my family and just do this as a solo thing. You know, that's my job right now. I want to work on that. I'm working on this being my number one goal. Like just this music stuff. I've always said if I can have this be my day one, my number one, I can wake up and do this and provide, then I think my content and my everything else would just come together. I think it would be a lot more, everybody would enjoy it a little bit more. Right now, I'm kind of, you know, I'm obviously doing other things too, like family, work, and this and that, but that's my number one goal right now, is to work on music being my number one thing as far as like career-wise and whatnot. So that's my number one goal right now, for sure.
Definitely. I mean, you partnered up with, on a performance-based partnership with Radio Pushers, man. How's your experience been so far?
Everything's been good. Everything's been amazing. Like I said, I've always been by myself for so long. So being able to have a quality team behind me, it feels amazing. And I love it. And to me, it's just the beginning of where I'm going to go. And I can't really say no more than that. I'm excited and see where this is going to take me.
Definitely. Give out your Instagram handle. Spell it out phonetically, loud and slow, just so everybody can follow you on IG, fam.
Yeah. My Instagram is at I am JJ Sam. IAMJJSAM. And I am JJ Sam on everything that you can come across, every platform. So it's IAMJJ.
Now, your record Obsessed is what's playing right now on 99.7 The Heat Miami. So that's the record we got booming. So, man, make sure every day from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, you got 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. Then you got it again from between 8 p.m. and 11:30 at night. Then you got it again from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. So keep that locked, man, on 99.7 The Heat Miami. Feel me?
Appreciate that. Thank you for that. Thank you.
No doubt, man. All right, my people. JJ Sam in the building, people. Viral Dope Podcast. Don't forget to hit that red button right on your screen, JJ, to release from the interview, okay?
Yes, sir.
Peace and love, people. JJ Sam in the building. Let's get it. Obsessed. It's available everywhere and streaming on 99.7 The Heat Miami, and it's streaming on Pop 102.8 Los Angeles. Let's get it. Peace and love.